Blink 182. The UK tour starts July 2017 with special guest Frank Turner. Book now at Ticketmaster. Blink 182 live.
Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, and we do it just a little bit different than anyone else does. We don't really do the argument, first take kind of stuff. We don't really do the, hey, first-time caller, long-time listener, I just want to say the Lakers rule, I'll hang up and listen. Yeah, we'd actually rather bring some common sense. Maybe talk about how sports actually work. Now, if you would like to recommend the podcast, and we appreciate it when you do that, please let your friends, your family, your coworkers, whoever it might be, know. They can find the podcast pretty much anywhere. They can subscribe to it in a number of different places. You just go to iTunes or Stitcher, maybe Podcast Republic or Google Play. You can go over to Audioboom. Audioboom has it there. BlogTalkRadio.com has every single episode that we have ever done. You can also head over to our site, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, where you are going to find a new article or two every single week. One did go up this week concerning Tom Brady. Going to be talking just a little bit about Tom Brady a little later in the show. New article went up this week that the Daily Dose was able to break a little news concerning something going on that might be causing a little internal strife with the New England Patriots. Might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check that out. Also, be sure to stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. Of course, Rogue Intel is a family of podcasts that the Daily Dose is a proud member of, and you've got to head over there and check out the number of different podcasts that are over there. They do a great job of finding new podcasts that you are sure to get addicted to, you are sure to be subscribing to, and downloading every single week. If you've got a question, got a comment, maybe you need some advice, maybe you have some input for us on the show, feel free to hit us up. You can find us on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, and you can find us over on Twitter or Facebook. Feel free to hit us up on a message there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, you know, we're going to talk a little bit of NFL, a couple stories coming out that I wanted to touch on, few players that are doing some interesting things. And, you know, last week, the College Basketball Committee did release their best 16 teams. We didn't get a chance to get around to that. We're going to discuss that just a little bit today. And the NBA All-Star Weekend took place in New Orleans over the weekend. We've got to discuss that. A few trades went down in the NBA. I want to talk about those as well. Got a few things to talk about today. And as always, be sure to stick around for our Daily Dose Top 5. You know the Daily Dose Top 5 has a mind of its own. You are not going to want to miss it this week. Trust me on that. Now, like I said, last week we sat down with Larry. We discussed the 2016 NFL season. We handed out a few awards. But as a result of doing that, we actually didn't get to talk much about that College Basketball Committee when they released the top 16 teams. Now, remember, we had discussed this a little bit earlier. They were kind of trying to stir up some interest prior to March Madness. You know, we don't care about college basketball yet. We really don't. We start maybe to care a tiny bit once the conference tournaments roll around. And then we watch those a little so that we can act like we have some insight into our March Madness brackets, which is really all that we care about. Let's be honest. And I like the idea of what they are trying to do. Stir up some interest, maybe get a little controversy, put some names out there, put some assignments out there of who they would have where. But I'm not sure it really worked. I'll be honest. When they released those top 16 teams, honestly, were you talking about it? Was anybody at your work talking about it? Were any of your friends talking about it? Probably not. They probably need to do it another time or two, maybe stir up a little bit of interest because it didn't seem like it did that. But we still can learn a few things from that bracket that they released. And what they did was they released a top 16, which would probably tell us who the top 4 seeds on each side of the bracket are going to be. Like I said, we did learn a few things. And these things that we learned might help you fill out your bracket in a few weeks. So we got to kind of pay attention a little bit. You don't have to watch. I'll do the watching for you. I'll relay the info to you. So that you, again, we're all about trying to help you get your bracket filled out correctly. Here's a couple things we learned. We learned that the College Basketball Committee really likes the Big 12 Conference. They really like the Big 12. Hey, Kansas was a number one seed and a number two overall in the entire thing. Baylor was a number one seed, and they were the number three. Now, we saw Kansas beat Baylor over the weekend. Baylor needs to win a big game for me to really believe in them. Like, I'm looking at Baylor. They look like they should be good. I keep being told how they should be good. But every time I watch them in a big game, Baylor doesn't show up. And they led most of that game against Kansas on Saturday, still found a way to lose it. West Virginia. I told you I like West Virginia. West Virginia was a number four seed. Understandably, the committee really liked the Big 12. We're going to need to keep an eye on the Big 12. It looks like the big dog conference this year. I understand it. Makes sense to me. We also learned that the committee doesn't think too much of the Big 10. You know, we're used to the Big 10 being one of the big dogs, aren't we? Not a single team from the Big 10. That has traditionally been one of the nation's best. Not a single team made it. Not one. No, not number 11, Wisconsin. Now, let me think about this. Counting down the top 16 teams. Number 11, Wisconsin, doesn't get in? It does make some sense. Number 16, Purdue, didn't get in. Maryland didn't get in. Northwestern, we have not talked about Northwestern on the Daily Dose. Northwestern just might, if they're not careful, get into their very, very first March Madness tournament ever. I can't believe they've never been there before. They might just get there. Got a chance. But no Michigan States, no Michigans, no team from the Big Ten got into the top 16. The committee has a message for the Big Ten. You better get your stuff together and you better do it quickly. You know, it would be the first time since 2004 that no Big Ten team would have a seed in the top 16. If this continues the way it is, see, here's the problem for the Big Ten. The problem is that the conference wasn't impressive out of the conference, and now they're beating each other up. We're seeing teams like Maryland sneak in and beat somebody. Wisconsin will win a game, lose a game. Purdue will win a game, lose a game. The conference is beating itself up, and as a result, the committee looked at it and said, hey, you're not getting one of the top 16 seeds, at least not right now. Committee is not big on the Big Ten. And the last thing that I think that at least I learned looking at that first bracket that the College Basketball Committee released, that committee still loves them some big names. Number 17 at the time, now dropped down to number 19, Florida State, who has lost six times, losing to Temple, losing to Georgia Tech. Florida State was given a number two seed. Really? A number two seed? That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would they get, oh yeah, because their name is Florida State. Doesn't make any sense. Kentucky and Duke both got in, despite the fact both lost five games. I look at Duke right now, and we've talked a little bit about Duke struggling this year. Duke right now playing as well as anyone in the country. But based on what they've done so far, are you really telling me that Duke should be in the top 16? I'm not sure they've done quite enough. They've looked bad at times. They're getting hot now, but they haven't been hot all year. I might put a couple of teams in ahead of them for right now, at least for right now. And then let's see how this all plays out. Maybe by the end of it, yes, Kentucky and Duke, hey, they're both very, very talented, but they haven't always shown that. Both getting much higher seeds than what they probably deserve based on what they've done so far. But again, if you're the College Basketball Committee, and you wanted big names, and you wanted to stir things up, and you wanted to generate maybe a little bit of controversy, yeah, go ahead and throw Kentucky and Duke in there. That ought to do it. And it seems like it did. Hey, you know, I got an email from one of our listeners. I've got to read that to you real quick. Got an email from Mike in SoCal, and Mike is one of our favorite listeners out there. I've got to read this. Clint, great show last week as usual, but I thought you would at least give a nod to the UConn women's basketball 100-game win streak. Hey, you know what? That is completely my bad. No, you are totally right. I missed that. I shouldn't have. I was actually watching that. I was actually paying attention a little bit to that, but I forgot to discuss it last week on the show. Hey, remember back when we did our college basketball preview The consensus number one pick in women's hoops at that time was Notre Dame. Couple people picking Baylor. Not here at the Daily Dose. No, no, no. You can go back and listen. You can go back and check. Go look at the back episodes on blogtalkradio.com. You'll find it right there. When you look at our college basketball preview, the Daily Dose said, we're picking UConn. We said UConn. Now, I'm not going to act like I watch the women's game that much. I'll be transparent. I don't. But I know this. I know UConn head coach Gino Auriemma is really, really good. Just to kind of put this in perspective, here is what the UConn women have done recently. The UConn women have not lost a game since November 17th, 2014. That's unreal. Back on November 17th, 2014, they lost to Stanford in overtime. Since then, they have won 101 games in a row. Now, during that streak, they have won 98 of those games by double digits. They have won 56 of those games by at least 40 points. That's amazing. You might hear those stats and do what a number of people do. You say, well, big deal. They've played a bunch of garbage teams. Wait a second. During this streak, the Huskies have played 28 ranked teams. UConn is not afraid to play anyone anywhere. Think about some of the teams that they have faced during the streak. Florida State, Baylor, DePaul, Texas, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Maryland, South Florida. Yes, South Florida is usually ranked. South Carolina, Rutgers, Syracuse, Duke. Hey, say what you will about UConn. Say what you will about Gino Auriemma. They will take on anyone, anywhere, and they will come to your place and beat you in your own gym. You know, it's funny because everyone has an off day, right? Like you see NFL teams, maybe they'll come in a playoff game and they'll have an off day. Just kind of struggle. Don't get it done. They get knocked off. You especially see this in those single elimination kind of tournaments. The NFL is that way. NFL playoffs are that way. Of course, March Madness is that way. You had an off day. You didn't shoot as well. Maybe you just weren't clicking that day. Whatever it was, you had an off day. And when you did, you struggled, and maybe you got beat. UConn doesn't seem to have those off days. And when they do have them, which is not very often, it is still good enough to beat your team. Now, actually, on Saturday, over this past weekend, UConn had their hands full with Tulane. And Tulane, who is traditionally not one of the great teams in women's basketball, UConn had to struggle and pull out a three-point win against Tulane on Saturday. So it isn't that this team is completely unbeatable, but you just know that Gino Auriemma is going to use that close game against Tulane to motivate his team. Hey, you better raise your level of play because Tulane almost got us. What's going to happen in our conference tournament where they have never lost a game in their own conference? What's going to happen when we get to the national tournament? It's going to get even tougher. I guarantee you, Gino Auriemma is going to make his team aware that they had better raise their level of play because everybody's gunning for them, and that streak could go away very, very quickly. So, from the Daily Dose, congrats to the Huskies on this incredible win streak. It is truly amazing what they have been able to do. And I have to say thanks to Mike in SoCal for the email, for the reminder. Yes, I did. I meant to talk about UConn a little bit, and I forgot to do that. That is on me. That's my bad. And it also just goes to show you, if you've got a comment, if you've got a suggestion, hit us up. We would love to hear from you. Got to talk a little bit about the NFL. Of course, everybody knows Tom Brady won his fifth Super Bowl a few weeks ago. Now that's all getting jammed down our throat. He's the greatest quarterback ever. He's the greatest football player ever. He might be the greatest human being ever. Now things are getting a little more out of hand. I'm going to be honest. I'm watching some of the stuff coming out about Tom Brady, and I'm kind of, oh man, really? Really? If you didn't see it, Tom Brady sat down with longtime football writer Peter King last week, and he said how he intends to play probably 4 to 5 more years. Feels that he can still play at a very, very high level for another 4 or 5 years. That would put him right around 45 years of age. He's going to be 40, I believe, in August this year. And so he talked a little bit about how it is that he is still staying so young. couple things that Tom Brady does. He doesn't go out. While everyone else goes out, maybe they go out and party after a game. Maybe they go out and party after a big win or party on their night off or whatever it might be. Brady says he doesn't go out. Says he heads home. Says he makes sure that he gets a certain amount of sleep every single night. Huge on sleep. Feels that sleep is where your body heals the most. He is big on sleep. He goes home and he takes care of his body and he gets his rest. He also talked about his diet a little bit. Doesn't consume any dairy. Doesn't consume any white sugar. Doesn't consume any white flour. Doesn't consume any gluten. Has a very, very strict diet that he sticks to. In fact, he talked about how he doesn't eat any kind of, you know, sweet things like that. His dessert of choice is avocado ice cream. Of course, now you have all these people that are scrambling. And from what I understand, Tom Brady and his wife Giselle have actually released some sort of a cookbook or a nutrition book or whatever it is. I think you can go purchase it for like $200. Because people are trying to find out his recipes. What is it that Tom Brady's doing that is keeping him so young? I don't feel that young. I'm working in an office. I've got my job doing whatever it might be. And I don't feel as young as Tom Brady obviously is. We're about the same age. That's crazy. How is he staying so young? It must be all the things that he does. It must be these recipes that he follows. Hold on a second. Let's be real, real clear about all of this. There are a few reasons that Tom Brady seems to be playing some of his best football at this age of, you know, 39, 40 years old. Yes, he does take care of himself. He apparently understands if I'm out partying, if I'm out drinking, if I'm not getting enough rest, there's no way I can possibly play at the level that I need to play at. Forget physically, I won't be as sharp mentally. And so much of his game is mental. So he does take care of himself. He apparently eats pretty healthy, I guess. I'm not sure. Now, him and Giselle were saying that basically most of his diet consists of vegetables. I'm not sure I'm buying that. I'll be honest. Call me cynical, whatever. I'm not sure I'm buying that. You're telling me you're not mixing in a steak every now and again? Having a hard time believing that when you're going in and working out in the gym and doing some of the things you do. I'm not sure that I believe that. But he does apparently watch what he eats. He does apparently eat very healthy, I guess. He plays for a really, really good coach. That helps, doesn't it? When you're around 40 and you have a coach that understands how to game plan better than maybe anyone in the history of the NFL, it kind of helps a little bit, doesn't it? Sort of helps. It also helps that coach understands, hey, if my quarterback's getting hit, we can't protect my quarterback. We've got big, big problems. So he's very, very good at designing game plans. We're going to attack this way. We're going to get the ball out of Tom's hands. We're going to do some different things to move the ball around to different receivers. It helps that he's got a great coach, right? That also helps. Yes, the avocado ice cream helps, I'm sure. And Bill Belichick helps quite a bit. Seems like there'd be something else that would help. What else would really, really help Tom Brady play at a really, really high level when he's almost 40 years old? Something else. It's just, I'm just kind of, oh yeah. The NFL has banned hitting the quarterback completely. Let's be real honest. Steve Young and Troy Aikman and Joe Montana probably could have played until they were 52 if you weren't allowed to touch them. I don't care. No amount of vegetables and avocado ice cream is going to fix Leonard Marshall's helmet right in the back of your neck. No amount of vegetables and, you know, super electrolyte water is going to help Troy Aikman or Steve Young getting drilled repeatedly in the skull. And don't you just know? Don't we all just kind of know that it's just a matter of time before we find out that Tom Brady has secretly been going to like Germany and ingesting the blood of like infants or something? It's coming, right? I mean, it isn't like Brady and the Patriots don't kind of have this track history of doing things that are just a little bit, tiny bit sketchy. Don't you feel like that's coming? I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but let's be real clear. Father Time catches everyone. Father Time is undefeated. Eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want. I get all that, and maybe it is good things. Not being able to be touched helps quite a bit. And you just know something's coming. We all just know. And I'm just going to sit back and eat my popcorn and watch when it does. Because we're going to find out. Tom Brady, he might be doing something that's right on the edge of being illegal. You know, the NFL Combine is coming next week. Now, if you aren't aware of what the NFL Combine is, it's a week-long showcase where college players can perform physical skills, they can do tests, they can get measured, they can get checked, and they can have interviews with prospective NFL teams. It has its place. It truly does. A lot of it is kind of silly, but it has its place. You want to verify who it is that you're drafting. I want to measure them. We've seen instances where a guy claims to be 6'3". He comes into town, you measure him, he's like 5'9". I can't have that. We've seen instances where a guy claims he runs a 4.3 40. You get him in, he runs a 4.8. That's a problem. And more importantly, you want to get to know some of these guys through the interview process. You want to check out some injury history and say, hey, he says he's all healed, but you know, we're kind of bending this knee and it keeps clicking and popping. Sparks are coming out of his knee. That might end up being a problem. The NFL Combine does have a place, but I'll be honest, a lot of it is just a huge waste of time that NFL marketing is trying to spin as entertainment. It's not really entertainment. It's kind of boring and kind of stupid. I'm not going to watch it. I'll be honest with you. I'm as big of a sports fan as there is. I'm not going to waste my time watching it. If you would like to, you let me know how it goes. But did you see this? This was a little bit interesting to me. Did you see that the NFL Combine is not allowing players to come that have a history of violence? Players that have had a history of violence got an invitation. Like, they had been invited, and then they sent out another thing. Say, hey, by the way, you remember that invitation you got? Never mind. Don't show up. Now, here's a couple of guys that were affected. Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon. Remember, he was caught on tape knocking a woman cold? He got uninvited. Ole Miss quarterback Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly has been involved in a few things. You'll remember he was involved in a fight in 2014 at some nightclub. He got uninvited. Baylor wide receiver Ishmael Zamora. He was suspended 3 games earlier this year for beating his dog and someone catching it on tape. Another violent act. He got uninvited. So all these guys and a number of others were uninvited to the NFL Combine. And we've talked about this before on the Daily Dose. Sometimes ideas sound really, really good in those board meetings. You think about the NFL. You got a bunch of old white dudes sitting around. Now, what should we do to try to, you know, get some more business? What should we do to try to make things a little more interesting? And you know, somebody lobbed out, you know what we ought to do? We ought to show how against violence we are. We should talk about how we're really against violence. And as a result, we're not going to let you come to our combine because we're so against violence. So if you were involved in a violent situation, you've been uninvited to our combine. Yeah, that's really good. That's a really good idea. We're going to be against violence. We're going to be against animal abuse. We're going to be against violence against women. You might not be against those things, but we here at the NFL, we're against those things. We're going to ban violent offenders from attending our underwear Olympics. It sounds like a great idea, right? It sounds like they're really taking a stand against violence. Look how brave they are. Remember, like LeBron and Carmelo and Wade and CP3, remember how brave they were? We're against violence. Oh, wow, you're the only one. You sure are brave. It's a very similar situation here. But here's the thing. It's not as well thought out as they might think. Yes, they are saying that they're against violence. Except here's the problem. We know full well NFL teams are drafting these players. Joe Mixon could get drafted in the first 2 rounds. So what you've basically done is limit the ability of these teams to actually check into these guys' character flaws. Because what they would do is they would bring them in, they would sit them down in an interview, and you interview these guys and you realize, well, maybe they actually are a psychopath and I don't want to touch this guy. Or maybe you interview the guy and they own up to their mistakes. They explain, hey, I made a few mistakes. I was young. That's on me. But I'm totally willing to do what needs to be done to rectify this. I'm totally willing to get into counseling. I'm totally willing to maybe do fundraisers to help women or to help abused animals or whatever it might be. Maybe they truly made a mistake. Hey, in America, we love giving people second chances, right? But by banning these guys from the combine, what is it we're going to go off of? Well, I'm going to go off their game tape. I don't have anything else to go off of, do I? I've got to go off that game tape. Hey, the game tape says these guys can play. We know they can play. So NFL owners might think that they're limiting the ability of these guys to get drafted. They're not. They're actually helping them get drafted. Because now I can't put them through that arduous interview process where I just might figure out what they're really about. Nice job, NFL. Outstanding work. Again, sometimes things in the meeting that sound really, really awesome, they might really appease a moronical group of fans, they don't really work. And they're really not that well thought out. Now, you might have heard the Dallas Cowboys are going to do the humane thing with quarterback Tony Romo. No. I'm not talking about them putting him to sleep, which might actually be the most humane thing they could do right now. But no, I'm actually talking about the report that the Dallas Cowboys are going to pass up trading Tony Romo and just release him and let him choose where he wants to go. What a nice guy Jerry Jones is. You know, sometimes we think about Jerry Jones and you just think, you know, he's just a money-hungry guy. He just has this massive ego. He's going to do everything he can to put himself out there. Look at him here. Putting aside money and doing what is best for Tony Romo, a player that, by all accounts, Jerry Jones genuinely loves, genuinely respects. He roots for Tony Romo. What a nice guy Jerry Jones is. Yeah, right. Don't believe that for one single minute. Here's the real deal. The Dallas Cowboys clearly aren't getting any bites from any teams interested in trading for a 37-year-old quarterback that has played just 5 games in the past 2 years because he keeps finding new bones to break. Pretty weird, huh? It's kind of odd how that works. Nobody wants to pony up and trade something of value for this guy that can't play any games because he's always hurt? Huh, that's really strange. So, what the Cowboys are actually doing is instead of eating that $24.7 million contract, oh yeah, we didn't mention that, did we? Tony Romo is due to get $24.7 million this year. Instead of paying him that, they're just going to cut him. Now, when you hear it that way, it doesn't sound like quite the good buddy deal, does it? That's an awful lot of money to pay a guy who, by average, over his last couple of seasons, is scheduled to play right around 2.5 games this next year. It doesn't seem like a real smart deal. Hey, if I'm Dallas and I could afford it, yes, I would love to keep him. I would love to have him on the roster. He would be a great backup quarterback to Dak Prescott. But not at $25 million. So unless he's going to redo his deal so that he can stay to be the backup, I'm going to have to cut him. This is just business 101. It's not personal. It's not anything to do with that. And it certainly isn't Jerry Jones being a nice guy and saying, hey, Tony, we just feel like you're a good leader and you ought to go out and find the best situation for you and your family. No. Get out of there. That's, hey, Tony, get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on your way out because we ain't paying you that $25 million that we kind of owe you. That's all that is. Hey, the NBA All-Star Game took place over the weekend. I've got some thoughts on how to make All-Star Weekend just a little bit better. We had a few trades go down in the NBA. I wanted to get to those, and you've got to make sure that you stick around for our Daily Dose Top 5. Trust me on this one, you don't want to miss the Daily Dose Top 5 today. We will be right back.
On the train to work again. So dull. If this is reality, I'll stick to reality TV. Give me Real Housewives and Kardashians. Give me over 150 downloadable reality shows for just $3.99 a month. For the love of Kim, give me Hey You. Kardashian, your commute this March with a brand new season. Same day as the US. Hey You, reality on demand. Get the Hey You app to start your free trial.
Cancel trial before 30 days.
Pancake Day is flipping fun. Pancake Day is Stella. This day will be a yummy one.
Because pancakes love Nutella.
Pancake Day is nearly here. Gather friends and family to enjoy some delicious pancakes on Tuesday the 28th of February. And don't forget, pancakes love Nutella.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Hey guys, it's TJ. I know you're enjoying the wonderful content the Rogue Intel Podcast Network provides you. We really couldn't do this without the support of you, our wonderful listeners. One of the best ways you can say thank you also happens to be one of the easiest ways. Just go to rogueintel.com/Amazon and do your Amazon shopping as you normally would. It won't cost you anything, and you'll be supporting your favorite podcast network. That's rogueintel.com/Amazon.
Hi guys, it's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
Let's jump over and talk a little bit about the NBA. Of course, the NBA All-Star Game was this past weekend, but there were a number of things that actually went down over the weekend that I'm not sure anybody expected. The Los Angeles Lakers made a big move. They have named Magic Johnson their new president of basketball operations and have fired general manager Mitch Kupchak and executive vice president of basketball operations Jim Buss. Hey, they needed to do something. I understand that. The Lakers are 19-39 and they are struggling, and they've been struggling for some time now. But I do have a few questions about this move. I do have a few concerns about this move. First off, and I love him as a player. He was a phenomenal player. But is Magic Johnson qualified at all to do this job? And I'm going to go ahead and answer my own question. The answer to that question, of course, is no. No. He's really, really not. Do you know what his plan is for turning this once proud franchise around? He says his first step is to call Kobe Bryant. Nobody knows winning like Kobe Bryant. Okay, but what does Kobe Bryant know about running a franchise? Ruining a franchise, maybe. Maybe. But running a franchise, have you heard some of the things that Magic Johnson has said? Some of the ideas that he has had? He has talked about what the Lakers really need to do is go contact LeBron James. I know they won't be able to get him, but they should at least contact him. That's your plan? That's what you want to do. Call LeBron James. Hey, LeBron, you want to come here? No. All right. Hey, Kobe, you want to get together and do something? If the Lakers were smart, which clearly they're not. If the Lakers were smart, they would go back to Jerry West, who I have heard has some bitter feelings against them these days, and just give him a blank check and say, Jerry, whatever it takes, come back and please fix us. That's not what they're doing. Doing some very, very strange things. Second, the second question that I have, looking back at all of the mistakes that this franchise has made lately, and I want you to think about some of those mistakes. Roy Hibbert, Byron Scott, Timofey Mozgov, Dwight Howard, letting Pau Gasol leave. Remember when they were trying to sign LaMarcus Aldridge and they gave him that horrible, remember how good we used to be back in the 80s sales pitch? Yeah, that didn't work so good, did it? Nick Young. Kobe Bryant's contract extension that we still don't know why they extended. Here's the thing that I'm wondering. How exactly is it that Jeannie Buss is skating on all of these horrible moves? She's involved too, right? Like, we can all point at Jim Buss and be like, well, Jim Buss is an idiot. Is he the only one making decisions? Because if that's the case, one, it's very, very irresponsible of her if she's not involved in these decisions. And two, if she has been involved in these decisions, which I would assume that she has, how come she gets to skate? Why doesn't she have any culpability in any of this? This is going to be extremely fun to watch. Watching Magic bump around, trying to figure out what in the world he's doing, it's going to be entertaining. I don't know if it's going to get any better. It's going to be entertaining. We do have the NBA trade deadline coming later this week, which usually ends up just being this monumental disappointment because nothing ever really happens at the trade deadline. But we actually had a few big trades go down in the NBA over the weekend. The Sacramento Kings traded DeMarcus Cousins to New Orleans. And in return, they received Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, and Langston Galloway. Plus, they do get the New Orleans Pelicans' 2017 first-round pick. And the second round pick, it is actually not their pick. That pick is actually coming from the Philadelphia 76ers, but whatever. The Kings are going to get two draft picks plus three players. They give up DeMarcus Cousins and some backup forward scrub that no one cares about. The New Orleans Pelicans absolutely robbed the Sacramento Kings. I'm watching the Kings, and I'm saying, if they agreed to this deal, what deals did they turn down? Because someone had to just be offering you, like, how about like $50 and like, I've got a 74 Ford Pinto. What could we give you for DeMarcus Cousins? And they're like, gonna hold out on that. You don't have like a little bit of a newer Ford Pinto, like a 77 or a 70? Nope, got a 74. Really? And I think we're gonna pass for now. But don't lose our number because we may be calling you back. The Sacramento Kings honestly have no idea what they're doing. They have no clue what they're doing. Vlade Divac is out there just making it up as he goes. He has no idea what he's doing. Having said that, and there's some really, really bad things as to what the Kings are doing. If you want to see just how stupid of a deal this is, you get rid of maybe one of the best big men in the game. You get back a bunch of very average players and some draft picks, right? You get back some draft picks. That sounds like, well, okay. So we get back Buddy Hield, Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, but we get those two picks, especially the Pelicans' first round pick. That's not a bad deal, right? Why on earth do owners and general managers think this is a good idea? When you trade a good player to a team and in return you're going to get their draft pick, think about this for 1 second. Every win that the Pelicans get makes the Kings pick in the draft worse. I mean, do you think about this at all? Like, you're making the Pelicans a little bit better, and if they win more games, then you get a worse pick out of the deal. I don't want your pick. I'll be honest. Give me something of value, or give me a pick that is locked and can't move, because if you win games, my pick gets worse. That doesn't help me one bit. So now I get some bad players and a crappy pick. That's not a great deal at all. Having said this, I'm not sure how much better the Pelicans really got. The Pelicans don't have any guards. I like Drew Holiday. I really do. But Drew Holiday, that dude hasn't played 82 games since like 2009, 2010, somewhere back there. He has hurt every single, like, you better have checked out his legs before you did this trade. Because Drew Holiday seems like he's hurt every single day. And the problem is, the Pelicans have DeMarcus Cousins, one of the best big men in the league, if not the best big man in the league. And you've got Anthony Davis, again, one of the best big men in the game, if not the best big man in the game. But the problem is, remember what we always talk about come championship time, whether it's March Madness, whether it's NBA. If you don't have guards, you don't have anything. If you don't have the people to pass it to them, so right now, who is going to pass the ball to Boogie and the Brow? Is that the name? Boogie and the Unibrow? Sounds like a comic strip. Boogie and the Unibrow. Who gets them the ball? Here's the other thing to think about. As good as Boogie Cousins is, and he has been one of the most elite big men in the, he is capable of taking over any game, anytime, anywhere against anyone. He is an absolute dominant big man. Yes, his outside shot hasn't quite developed, but he can hurt you in a million different ways, and he can dominate at both ends of the floor. Here's my only problem. He's never been on a winning team. Now, he's played in Sacramento. Of course he hasn't been on a winning team. I don't care. If you're that dominant of a player, can't you will Sacramento to win a couple of games? So as talented as he is, I am not sure exactly what I'm getting. I do think they can play both of these players at the same time. Play one at a four, play one at a five, go high-low. They are both good passing big men. I think that actually will still work. It's going to be fun to see New Orleans. They're going to make a run at that number eight seed. And, you know, here in the next few weeks, we might just have to discuss who is going to be winning those eight seeds. We've got a couple teams. I don't think we expected to be there. And the New Orleans Pelicans could be one of them. The Denver Nuggets could be one of them. What? I know. Sounds crazy. We might have to start discussing who's going to get that eight seed in the NBA playoffs. because it's going to get interesting as we go down the stretch. Keep an eye on the New Orleans Pelicans coming down the stretch. Of course, the news came out last week. It looks like Cleveland Cavaliers forward Kevin Love is going to miss a few weeks with a knee injury. I'll be honest. I'm not sure that Caleb being out honestly really affects the playoff alignment in the East, because the East just isn't that good. And LeBron James should be able to carry that team as long as they don't drop. If they drop down to like a fifth seed, I'll start getting concerned, because then that means you're having to go on the road and that kind of thing. I can't see them dropping that many games. They've got a three-game lead on second place, let alone dropping back to, you know, say that fifth seed where they've got like a 7.5-game lead. I don't see them dropping that far. Could affect the Cleveland Cavaliers, though. We'll talk about that in just 1 minute. But for as much as I don't look at Cleveland and think they are all that vulnerable, one team does. One team thinks they might be able to make a move. And that is the currently in fourth place Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are sitting at 7 games behind the Cavs. But last week, the Toronto Raptors pulled the trigger on a trade for Orlando Magic forward Serge Ibaka. In return, the Magic got Terrence Ross and, like, again, another first-round pick, because that's a brilliant idea. And, I don't know, like a canned ham or something. They got some other stuff. I'm saying they got other things. I don't know exactly what the other things were, but they got some other stuff. One of the weaknesses for the Toronto Raptors has been their ability to defend the basket. They have struggled at times defensively, not being able to guard right at the cup, and that has hurt them. Serge Ibaka can do that. He can be a dominant presence inside. Remember back when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder? He was a dominant player. In fact, he gave the Golden State Warriors fits because he was such a good shot blocker inside. If Ibaka is really committed to playing defense, he could change the way that Toronto looks defensively inside. The other thing that the Raptors struggle with is they struggle with their offensive spacing, because they've got those two smallish guards. They're not tiny guards, but they've got two smaller guards. And teams like to defend Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan by just collapsing in the paint, take away their dribble penetration, and we're just going to contest every shot that you shoot. Well, here's the thing offensively. Serge Ibaka can shoot it a little bit. He can stretch the floor a little bit. Toronto can't really knock off Cleveland, though, right? Right? I don't think so. But there are three teams right now over in the Eastern Conference with the Boston Celtics. We kind of thought they'd be better with Al Horford coming over. We thought that, hey, Boston Celtics are a fun team to watch. Not sure they can beat Cleveland, but they might make it interesting. The Washington Wizards are starting to surprise some people. They are winning some games. And coming off this break, they had won 4 in a row and had won 9 of their last 10. Washington Wizards playing pretty good. And now with this trade, could the Toronto Raptors possibly, maybe, give themselves a chance to challenge the Cleveland Cavaliers? Probably not. Going to be interesting to watch the second half of the season. Of course, the NBA All-Star Weekend took place in New Orleans on kind of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yes, in the game itself. I told you the game itself is kind of the worst part of the whole thing. The West beat the East in a 192-182 thriller. Is that really what we want to watch? Maybe if you're 12, I guess. And I'm not asking that you go out there and slap the floor and really D people up, but can you kind of pretend to play defense? Like I said, maybe the 12-year-old kids really like that stuff. NBA's trying to appeal to a younger crowd. I don't get it. I don't know. I thought it was odd. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook actually played reasonably nice. No, they didn't, you know, get real close. But KD even threw his former teammate a lob for a dunk. Now, Russ gave him the point after. And he didn't look at him. He just kind of pointed in the vicinity, like, hey, nice lob there. They did not get together and, hey, buddy, I'm sorry I had to leave. It's okay. You got to do what you got to do. Your life is not about pleasing the rest of us. I know. I just felt bad. We didn't have that moment, is what I'm trying to say. Hometown New Orleans Pelican big man Anthony Davis won the MVP of the game with an all-star game record-breaking performance. He had 52 points. Anthony Davis had 52 points in the game, most points ever in an NBA all-star game. Sure, he took 40 shots, but whatever. Ignore that part. It's an exhibition game. And isn't it kind of fitting that in an exhibition game, a guy that looks like Count Von Count on Sesame Street won the MVP? Doesn't Anthony Davis look a lot like the Count on Sesame Street? Like a lot like him. just, it seemed like it was really, really fitting. Like, I wanted the interview after the game to be like, hey, Anthony Davis, how many times did you see anyone play defense in that All-Star game on Sunday night?
One, two, three, four, all together. The number of the day is four.
So prior to the All-Star game itself, on Friday, you have the All-Star Celebrity Game, which is basically like some rich white owners and like some B-list rappers, and they play each other. They look exactly like the old guys at your neighborhood rec center. I mean, I won't watch that for free, so why in the world would I tune in for this? So that wasn't very good. Then later on Friday night, you have the Rising Stars Challenge, where it was the USA players against the world players. And actually, Denver Nuggets shooting guard Jamal Murray put up 36 points. The world team beat the USA team 150 to 141. That score actually makes it sound like more of a defensive battle than it actually was, because I watched about 5 minutes of that and I had to turn it. It was as bad as the All-Star game was. The only difference was these guys couldn't shoot as well. So it was worse defense, worse offense. It wasn't very good. And then on Saturday, we actually started to get to the contests that usually are at least a little bit interesting. They weren't that great this year. So first up, New York Knicks forward Kristaps Porzingis beat out Utah Jazz forward Gordon Hayward in the skills challenge, which like gave Knicks fans their proudest moment in the past, I don't know, 20 years or so. And that competition was not bad. It was at least entertaining. So the skills challenge, it was decent. It was okay. Then we went to the three-point shooting contest. I told you, the three-point shooting contest this year has a chance, at least, to be pretty good. Well, Houston Rockets guard Eric Gordon won the contest after we saw some really bad shooting. So Wes Matthews posted an awesome 11 score. CJ McCollum got a 10-point score. And even defending champ Klay Thompson, he actually started off hot. He made 4 of his first 5 shots. And then he made just 6 more shots total in the entire contest. So Eric Gordon sort of won. And also everyone else sort of lost because no one could shoot. So Gordon was like the best shooter on a really bad shooting night. So I guess enjoy. And then we finally got to, at least when I was a kid, the most exciting part of the All-Star weekend. The NBA dunk contest. Yeah. That didn't go very well. You knew it was going to be bad when it started off. Like, as soon as it started, it just... And now, the NBA dunk contest. And, oh, man. The first opening dunk. Aaron Gordon tried a dunk after getting a bounce pass from a remote-controlled drone that flew over the court. I'm not joking. Like, if you didn't see it, and you're just listening to this right now, haha, Clint's just being funny. I'm not kidding. That is what started the dunk contest this year. Like, right there and then, if Adam Silver had a spinal cord whatsoever, he would have walked into the arena and just kicked Aaron Gordon right out of the league. We're not going to put up with this. This is nonsense. This is stupidity. And we're not going to have it. You're gone. He should have thrown him out of the league right there. And then it actually got a little bit worse, because then Los Angeles Clippers big man DeAndre Jordan dunked over DJ Khaled. Is that impressive? Khaled's like 5'6". I'm not impressed by that. You want to impress me? Dunk over Rick Ross. That might impress me a little bit more. Dunk contest was bad, man. Really, really bad. Glenn Robinson III won the contest eventually by beating out Derrick Jones Jr. I'm assuming both Robinson and Jones actually play in the NBA. Honestly, I have no idea who they are. I don't know Glenn Robinson III. I know Glenn Robinson. I remember the big dog. I know David Robinson. I even know Rumeel Robinson. No idea who this GR3 kid is. And I've never even heard of Derrick Jones. Is he Roy Jones' kid? Is he related to Popeye Jones? Caldwell Jones? I don't know. I remember Eddie Jones. I don't know who Derrick Jones. Can we please start getting some real names in this contest? Can we please? You don't have to be LeBron James to be in the dunk contest. But could we kind of take that next young tier of guys? Again, Adam Silver, step up. Do something. There's a few things you could have. You could have thrown Aaron Gordon out of the league. That would have been, you know, just a good idea when he did that nonsense with the stupid drone. And you also could tell a few guys, hey, you're going to need to come participate in this dunk contest, or we're just going to make sure it goes away. Because it's really, really dumb. Because right now, it's not worth our time watching. Here's the bottom line. I'm not liking these NBA All-Star events. I find them boring. I find them out of touch. I find them out of date. And as we usually do, the Daily Dose is in the business of helping people. That's what we do here at The Dose. So here are a few new NBA All-Star Weekend events that would actually be worth our time to watch. We might actually watch these if these were on. Add a couple of little things that actually make this weekend worth watching. Because I watched quite a bit of it. I was not impressed. Very, very unimpressive weekend from the NBA just in general. What do you do with the All-Star game itself? I don't know. I guess you can go in and have a talk with these guys and say, hey, pretend to play defense. I don't want them to do like some stupid home court advantage for the NBA finals based on the stupid All-Star game. Don't go down the baseball road. That's idiotic. I don't want that. Maybe you go in and talk to these guys and say, hey, pretend to play defense. You can't give up 200 points in a regular game. That's idiotic too. So let's not do that, but we need to kind of adjust these things a little bit. Here are a few adjustments the Daily Dose would like to make. We're going to adjust the three-point contest, okay? I'm just going to throw this out there. Here is an idea to make the three-point contest a little bit better. We're going to bring in 8 guys. We're going to let them play and shoot, and we're going to take the top 4 that get through the three-point contest. So let's just say this year, for instance, the top 4 are Klay Thompson, Eric Gordon, Kyrie Irving, and Kemba Walker. Those are our top 4. Okay, now we're going to make this a team three-point contest. And we're going to see which team can combine for the most three-point shots. Now, this year's team, Thompson, Gordon, Irving, and Kemba, you're going to face off against a classic team of Reggie Miller, Larry Bird, let's throw Dale Ellis and Ray Allen in there. Now we're going to have a team three-point contest, and we're going to see which team wins it. Does today's team win, or does the classic team win? Tell me you wouldn't watch that. And here's the thing. You lose your skills as you get older. You lose your legs. You lose, like in Larry Bird's case, you lose your back. You know the one thing a lot of these guys don't lose? They don't lose their shooting touch. I'll promise you, Reggie Miller, to this day, Ray Allen, to this day, can walk into the gym and outshoot the majority of today's NBA guys. That would be an entertaining contest that I'd actually like to see. I would actually tune in for that. I'm going to add another contest that I'd like to see thrown into NBA All-Star Weekend. We're going to still keep the dunk contest. I know it's overstated to welcome. Let's be honest. It's kind of that fat drunk uncle that stays at your barbecue for way too long and you're left having to try to get him a Lyft or get him an Uber to get him out of there because he's passed out on your floor. But we're going to make that a little bit better. Here's the thing about the dunk contest. I don't need to see 7-footers dunk. It's not visually pleasing to see 7-footers dunk. That's why you see these guys doing these outlandish things. That's why you see a 7-foot guy jumping over a DJ booth. Because he's so big, he's got to try to do something. Here's what I want to see. We walk out. You know when you go to ride the rides at Disneyland? And it says, you're too short, you're not allowed to ride the roller coaster or whatever. We walk out that little ride thing. In the Daily Dose dunk contest, you've got to be under 6 feet to participate. And if you're under 6 feet, then you can participate. Now, we don't have guys dropping balls from drones and jumping over a cheerleader and then another player and then the player's kid. And we don't have the nonsense. I just want to see an under 6 foot guy get up there and put one down. That eliminates a lot of the nonsense. Hey, bring in the 5'9 guy. Bring in the 5'11 guy. That actually looks a little bit better than these big giant guys trying to come up with props and an apparatus and some sort of a trapeze thing to dunk off of. That stuff is nonsense. I'd like to get rid of it. So we have the Daily Dose under 6 foot dunk contest. Again, you'd watch that, right? It's a little bit better. I got a couple more contests I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you this one. The Daily Dose big man free throw contest. We've discussed this before on the show. You know, there used to be some great big man free throw shooters. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, excellent free throw shooter. For a big guy and the first really polished big man of his era, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar could shoot free throws. Hakeem Olajuwon, he had to work at his free throws. It did not come easy to him, but he developed a much better free throw shooting touch. Somebody like Jack Sikma, a very, very good free throw shooter. So here's what we do. We bring in, if you are the lowest rated free throw shooters in the league, you have to participate. You don't have a choice. So DeAndre Jordan, come on down. Andre Drummond, Tristan Thompson, Dwight Howard, come on down. And we see who the first guy is to make five. Look, I'm not having to make 10. I'm not ready to be here for like 3 hours. I'm just going to see who can make five. First guy to make five, we pay you $5 million. That's $1 million a make. Yes, it's probably still going to take like 90 minutes. Let's all be honest. We put them at, you know, four different baskets. All right, shoot your free throws. First guy to make five. Yes, like I said, it's going to take a while. You can probably go get some popcorn, come back. Has he made five yet? No, he's on two. The leader's on two. It's only been an hour. But eventually, they're going to make five. And when they do, think of how exciting it's going to be for that guy. I made five free throws. Last challenge. Our last all-star event is the defensive challenge. I told you before, I'm a big believer in defense. Defense wins championships. Yes, offense will put some butts in the seats, but defense wins championships. So again, we're going to take four specific players. We're going to put them in this. We can kind of handpick this. Adam Silver has to step up and make some tough decisions. He's got to start to do something as NBA commissioner. We've barely seen him since he threw the Clippers owner out. He's got to come back and do some things. So here's what we do. We take James Harden. We take Steph Curry, Carmelo Anthony, and just to make it interesting, we're going to take a big man. We're going to take Enes Kanter from the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to put them on the floor, and they've got to play one-on-one defense against the league's leader in points per game. This year, right now, that would be Russell Westbrook. So each one of these players has to get a one-on-one stop, and the first one-on-one stop they get wins. Now, I've got some good news for these guys, and I've got some bad news for these guys. The good news is that the prize for getting one stop versus Russell Westbrook is $1 billion. $1 billion. Hey, the defensive challenge, say what you will, the defensive challenge pays off. Here's the bad news. This contest is never, ever, 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 ever going to end, and no one will ever win because these guys can't get a stop if their life depended on it. Hey, just a quick reminder, kids. Your nerd gear is wearing out. You have that pocket protector. You thought that pocket protector would keep you from ruining your favorite Firefly shirt, didn't you? Yeah, but that shirt doesn't actually have a pocket, so your favorite pen dripped all over it. Head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Loot Crate delivers pop culture crates that are filled with exclusive items and apparel from your favorite TV shows, from your favorite movies, and from your favorite video games. You can go order a crate, you can get a subscription of crates coming every single month, or you can just get individual items. And you can find items and crates featuring Resident Evil, Doctor Strange, Power Rangers, Lego Dimensions, and yes, you can replace that favorite Firefly shirt of yours. They actually have some really, really cool stuff. They've got an Archer t-shirt and a Los Pollos Hermanos barbecue apron that I need to go order. And the best part about ordering is when you place your order, put Daily Dose in the coupon box. You'll get 10% off your order. Loot Crate will kick us a little bit of money. We will forward that to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund, which helps some kids get involved in sports. So quit messing around and go place your order right now. Hurry up. Seriously, like go before I start the top five. Okay, I'm not waiting that long. I'm going to go ahead and start the top five, but you promised you'd do it. So go get your order in. We have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. I'm not sure if you saw this. You might have missed this, but Cleveland Cavaliers point guard Kyrie Irving was on, I don't know, some show or podcast or whatever, and he stated that he believes the earth is flat. I wish I were kidding. I'm actually not. Here is what Kyrie Irving said. Remember, Kyrie Irving went to Duke. Just throwing that out there, whatever. Here's what Kyrie Irving actually said. For what I've known for many years and for what I've been taught is that the earth is round. But if you really think about it, from a landscape of the way we travel, the way we move, and the fact that, can you really think of us rotating around the sun and all the planets align, rotating in specific dates, being perpendicular to what's going on with these planets and stuff like this?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Bottom line, Kyrie Irving thinks that he's being lied to. The earth is not round, and the earth is actually flat. You would think eventually we'd have like a lot of people falling off the edge, but what do I know? What do I know? And hey, I don't have a problem with Kyrie Irving being skeptical of what sometimes science or different people shove down our throats. I'm a cynic about almost everything, so I understand that. You might want to pick your battles, but hey, Kyrie, do what you do. If you're skeptical of this, you be skeptical of this. So, in light of Dr. Irving explaining to us about landscapes and things being perpendicular, and we thought that we would break some news and share a few other things that Kyrie Irving believes in. Because it's not just this, apparently. Yes, Kyrie Irving believes the earth is flat. That's not all. This week on The Daily Dose, we count down The Daily Dose top five other things that Cleveland Cavaliers point guard Kyrie Irving also believes. Number five. That President Trump has got a fine head of hair. I don't know. I don't know if he... That seems weird to me. Like, that's not a good-looking rug dude's got on his head. But, hey, Irving believes it. It must be true. Number four on our list. Have you heard that O.J. Simpson actually has a chance at parole from his Nevada prison sentence for robbery and kidnapping? He can actually make parole this summer. Well, Kyrie Irving believes that OJ needs to get out as soon as possible so that he can get back to work looking for those real killers. Like, I don't know why he believes that. That's what Kyrie Irving believes. Don't get mad at me. That's what Kyrie Irving believes. Number three on our list, other things that Kyrie Irving believes. He believes that the NBA wasn't trying to extend the NBA Finals last year when they suspended Draymond Green for Game 5. Aww. That was fair. And honestly, it was just. That's number three on our list. What could the last two things be? Kyrie Irving believes some weird things. Like, the earth was flat. Like, that's one thing. But, like, we've got some weird things that dude believes. Number two on our list. Much like Lunesta, Bill Cosby was just trying to make sure you get a good night's rest so you can feel rested in the morning. Oh. Kind of odd thing. It's kind of a weird thing to believe, isn't it? Kyrie Irving's a weird dude. What could number one on our list B. The number one other thing that Kyrie Irving believes. Have you heard Daily Dose host Clint Daly? That guy's a freaking genius! Hey, next week, not sure if you realize this, but Sunday night is the 89th Academy Awards. You just know we might have to discuss a few sports movies on the Daily Dose. Plus, we've got NBA, college basketball, and as you just saw, you never know which direction the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. Please, go to wherever it is that you download the show and click that little subscribe or that little follow button. It actually helps us get seen by a few more people, and you'll be sure not to miss out on any of the new episodes that come out. Feel free to contact us. We heard from Mike in SoCal. Asked a great question about the UConn Hoops team. We would love to hear from you. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter at Daily Dose Sports. Be sure to do any shopping you might need to at lootcrate.com/Daily Dose and enter Daily Dose into the coupon box. You'll get 10% off of your order. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.
You okay? You weren't on the group chat last night.
And?
Were you with that new guy?
Look, I promised I wouldn't talk to you anymore.
And you listened to him?
He said he wants to protect me.
Protect you? By not letting you talk to your best friend. At least text me later, yeah?
I can't.
What?
He checks my phone every night.
Hun, this isn't normal.
I've got to go. I'm already late. Sorry.
Controlling who someone speaks to and what they do is not okay. To find out more, search Disrespect Nobody